Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with
Jason Shear.
And you may have heard, Arizona just, you know, opened a can of whoop-ass.
Wow, Shelby on took ASU. 1 minute to say a bad word.
And, you know, the final score was 105-60. No big deal. It was awesome. We have a lot of words to say about it. Jason was at the game.
I suppose.
You're, like, super famous now. You can't even go anywhere in public anymore.
Soon you will be sitting on top of the world.
That was my fortune cookie tonight from our Chinese food. Isn't that great?
Wow. Do the read. Let's get funky.
All right. So, as usual, we need to shout out our sponsor. Investing should be easy. Buy low and sell high. But what seems simple can get tricky in a complex field. It is too easy to encounter pitfalls in the investment space, but seeking professional advice can help you reach your goals. At Longview Insurance and Investments, we're your local professionals based right here in Tucson. Let us help you create a personalized investment portfolio that reflects your unique risk tolerance, time horizon, and goals. Visit our website at www.longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn more.
Shout out, Andre. I also met his wife tonight.
And you met Emily.
They had a little date night tonight.
Aww.
He has yet to see a good basketball game.
I know. Every time he goes, it's murder.
It's kind of funny. The one game he missed was the only close game.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not complaining, but, you know, it's funny. Yeah. You know, I think Bobby Hurley actually had a good quote at the end of the game, post-game. I haven't heard the whole thing, but I don't know the exact quote, but I had asked someone that listened to Bobby, and he basically said that this was a result that he feared while watching the tape. I think college basketball, more than any sport, really, more than the NBA, more than college football, more than any sport, is matchup-based. Like, even if the number one team in the country, as we see in the tournament, faces a team that maybe does things that they don't do as well, you know, like,
or size, or,
you well, know. Like, Arizona's, I don't want to say matchup nightmare, but Arizona's matchup they probably don't want to see is a big man that can extend the floor, which is one of the reasons why Stanford happens to play well against Arizona, right?
Right.
ASU doesn't spread the floor with anyone.
Right.
Their offense, as we mentioned in the preview, is bad. It is a, what I call a do-you offense, right? When you put on the film and you compare ASU and the type of team they would never want to see, it is basically video of Arizona. And Hurley, to his credit, pretty much admitted it after the game. Arizona is the worst matchup in the Pac-12 for ASU. They have a big that is significantly bigger and stronger than anything ASU can offer. They can match ASU's athleticism. In order to beat Arizona, oftentimes you have to be able to score with them. most of the time,
score
Arizona's going to score 70 points in a game, right?
Right.
ASU does not have that offense. Now, what surprised me tonight is ASU is actually a decent defensive team.
By the numbers.
By the numbers, statistically, and really overall. Like, going into this game, the most points they had allowed was very early in the season, if you remember that ridiculous late-night game against San Diego.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right, where they allowed 89 points. But this was statistically, Shelby, according to my guy Fry Rice on the message boards.
Fry Rice!
The most efficient game of the entire Tommy Lloyd era.
Amazing.
The only efficient game that compares to this is 2020 against NAU. Like, this was, it was stupid, right? And it wasn't a team like, you recall when Arizona lost to Stanford. Everything Stanford threw at the basket went in. This wasn't that. Arizona had, if I look it up, 52 points in the paint, right? If you took the points in the paint and the free throws by Arizona, they win this game. That's it.
They didn't need anything extra.
They didn't need an out. Like, the paint, 52. It was 60 to 52. ASU had 60 points. And Arizona had 52 in the paint compared to 16. Right? This wasn't a case of everything Arizona shot going in. This was a case of whatever Arizona wanted on offense.
It just happened.
It got, like, whatever it wanted. If it wanted a lob, it got a lob. If it wanted a three, it got a three. If it wanted to get fouled, I mean, Arizona went to the line 32 times, right? 25 of 32, by the way. And a lot of that was the fouling and the stupid at the end. But, you know, overall, it was just like, you know, it was an ass-kicking. Like, oftentimes, you know, when we go back on the blowout shell, and what do I say?
The energy thing. Matching energy.
But most of all, sometimes we've had these podcasts where it's blowout, and I just simply say one team is better than the other.
Oh, okay, there's that.
Right? There's nothing you can do. And look, I don't know what's going to happen when these teams face each other in Tempe. I would assume it'll be closer. But at the end of the day, Arizona's still an awful matchup for ASU.
That's not going to change.
And that's not going to change. It would have to take a very cold shooting night for Arizona to lose, knock on wood. But Arizona's offense, Shelby, I mean, I could read you statistics for days. My boy Greg Mraz, the Pac-12 statistician, again, I say this multiple podcasts, someone please hire him when the Pac-12 is gone. Arizona's 309 points over the last three games are the third most by a Pac-10 school since 1980. By the way, Arizona has the number 1, 2, and 3 of the top five. Four. They have four of the top five. The only one that is not Arizona's Oregon in 2001 and 2. Third most, right? It's just like, this is the biggest margin of victory in this rivalry.
It was amazing.
45 points. This is the first time, and this surprised me, actually. This is the first time in 20 years that Arizona's dropped 100 spot against ASU.
Which I predicted.
You did. Pac-12 coaches with 20 wins in each of their first three seasons at the school, Shelby. Right? There mm-hmm. are seven of them. Mm-hmm. Tommy Lloyd is one of them. Right? These teams have met 246 times, and this was the biggest margin of victory. Tommy Lloyd, the first Arizona coach ever, and the seventh Pac-12 coach ever to win 20 games in each of his three seasons. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, I'm just letting you cook.
Arizona shot 67.7% from the field in the first half, which is the best in any Territorial Cup half since shooting 70% in the second half 8 years ago. That was an ass-kicking.
That was amazing.
Take it, baby.
I don't have a ton.
Take it, baby.
I don't have a ton to add other than suck it, Bobby Hurley.
That's it.
That's it. That's all I got.
By the way, people, I said over under half attack.
I'm so disappointed.
Bobby tried one time to get attacked. I actually want to shout out the refs. I thought the crew was better than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I noticed is Bobby Hurley tried a few times to get attacked with Bill Vavinovich or whatever his name is. And Bill walked away because he's like, I'm not giving you attack. I know you want attack and you don't want to be here right now. And I'm not letting it happen. So there's one time where Hurley went after him and he literally walked across the court. It was nice. Like, I'm not giving you this shit. I know what you want, and I'm not giving it to you.
Been, it's always just satisfying, but, like, I mean, that's the bigger picture, you know, not giving him what he wants. Because he doesn't want him to get the team fired up. He doesn't want to, you know, anything like that. The shenanigans, as it were. By the way, this whole forks down thing, and, like, Texas, too, with this, you know, their stupid horns. It is not like someone flipped you off. Like, they act like you said something horrible to them in finger form. Like, literally.
Okay, so here's the thing, right? I am a big, you will never hear me talk about shit talking. I love it. I want all the smoke. I don't care if another team does it. I thought it was, I think there's a place and a time. So the score is like, 20-20, right?
Yeah.
And ASU goes up 25-20, and Adam Miller's pounding his chest, and Jose Perez has guns in the air, and you look at the clock, and you're 8 minutes into the game. And it's like, dude, what are you, what are we doing? It's
like real bad time. Like, read the room, right? And idiot.
Right? I believe from there on out, right? And I want to look this up, because I've always, I like to be
fair. And that's when the fight started.
Brian Peterson tweeted it, and it happened to coincide with that. ASU started the game 9 of 13 overall and 7 of 7 from 2 over the first 8 minutes.
It was a good start.
That happened, Shelby, right? It was 12 of 45 for the rest of the game and 8 of 27 from 2.
Yeah. It's dumb.
As The Rock once said, Brielle likes The Rock, know your role and shut your mouth.
Boom. Ooh, you are in McHale. The Rock tonight?
You are in McHale, up 5. With 30 minutes left in the game.
There's a lot of time left, guys.
And if there's anything that Caleb Love wants you to do, it's talk shit. Oregon talked shit to Caleb Love, and he gave it right back to him. Keyshawn Johnson got a tech that game for tapping his head.
I know. That was right? So stupid.
Like, there's certain dudes that feed off it. Certain guys don't want it. And there's a lot, like, Adam Miller.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
I tweeted this. Adam Miller and Caleb Love played in a really, really, really good high school game in Chicago. And they went back and forth, and it was heated. And so if you were wondering why they kind of went at it tonight, they have a history.
There's history.
Right? Jose Perez, by the way, who has a gut, which was
so chunky.
I love Jose Perez. Because like, if I played,
like a beast.
First of all, he's 26 years old.
Is he?
Yes, literally 26 years old. I love that guy. I don't think he's very good, but he's got like an old man
game.
He's
like grit.
Like Khalif Battle on Temple used that. Like, this dude had 14 points and it was all post ups and he does nothing else. It was an old man game. Anyway, like, I don't care if you talk trash, but if you were to say, Jason, what guy do you not want to talk trash to in Arizona? I would be like, look, dude, you could talk trash to this guy. I would talk trash to Crevis because he probably can't understand you, but I wouldn't talk trash to Caleb Love. And one of the funniest parts of the game, and I thought one of the turning points, was Jose Perez got the ball, and Kylan Boswell was guarding him. And Perez bumps into Boswell, and he backs up a little bit, and then Boswell literally screams, bring it. And then Perez tries to bring it and winds up turning the ball over, leading to a bad three. And then it was a bad shot, and then Boswell came down and hit that floater in traffic. That was ridiculous. Like, don't poke the bear. Just know your role, right? Like, and I don't know. Like, it's just weird to me. Like, UConn today, like Cam Spencer, who's really fun to watch in UConn, talked crazy shit to Marquette, right?
Yeah.
Because they knew that they were beating the crap out of Marquette. And Marquette talked a little bit of trash too. Like, you don't go into McHale up five with 30 minutes to go
and think
pounding your chest, slapping the floor, throwing guns up in the air. It's like, what are we doing? And by the way, even when ASU is shooting well, like, at no point did I say to myself, this is going to continue. Because ASU is just not that type of team.
You can't sustain it.
I think Frankie Collins hit a shot where he was, like, falling, and somehow it went all the way up in the air and then fell in the basket. And it was just stupid.
I do feel bad that he's on that team. Because if he was on any other team in the Pac-12, except maybe USC or, you know, like, any good team, like, he would shine more. Like, I really, I think he's a good kid.
Well, I like Frankie Collins. But, like, even him, like, that team goes as Collins goes. And Collins played 23 minutes and was in foul trouble in the first half. And to his credit, he stayed out of foul trouble. But, like, they took out Collins for, like, 2 minutes, and then Arizona went on a 9-0 run, and it was, like, 33-24.
Yeah.
And then they put him back in because, like, he's that dude. And they don't have a bench. Like, they absolutely, ASU has no bench whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kind of just letting me cook in this one.
I'm letting you. Well, what do you want me to do? You are more exuberant coming home from this game than you've ever been before.
I like ASU. And then, like, their bigs. Like, he's like, Hurley started Phillips. And Phillips cannot score whatsoever.
No.
Right? So you're not stretching the floor at all against Umar. Phillips fell out in 11 minutes. I think he had a rebound, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a rebound and assist. He took one shot. Then you put in Gaffney, and Gaffney could extend the floor. He hit a three, but the one thing that Gaffney cannot do for a guy his size is his on-the-ball defensive IQ is atrocious. Has just no idea what to do. He fell down in 12 minutes. Arizona State's bigs picked up 10 fouls in about 10 minutes. In 12, like, they fouled out.
All the fouls.
They played 11 and a half minutes on average, and they both fouled out. And they have no bench. Like, ASU just can't, like, they can't. Kamari Lands just wasn't ready. He went 1 of 7. He's just not good enough. And then that's it. Like, Celebange is, like, they had Celebange at center. He's 6'8", 215 pounds. And Umar Bala was like, my God, this is the greatest moment of my life.
This is the best night of my life.
And then I think he had, like, 3 shots in a row. And that was that. Like, he's like, you're guarding me with basically a small forward.
That's it. Boom. Do you want to go down the line of
I guess.
Arizona
I mean, it's not
players?
Like, it's, I mean,
you want to okay, wasn't it Jaden Bradley's best performance?
Yes, that I watched a lot of Bama last year. I watched a lot of college basketball. Shelby knows that was the best I've ever seen Jaden Bradley play. 21 points, 8 of 11 from the field. He hit his three from the corner. His effort level was crazy. He's fast. By the way, no turnover, Shelby. Or no, one. Did he have one turnover? I can't see. I'm so excited. No turnovers. No turnovers in his last, I think he has one turnover in his last 7 games.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That was ridiculous. And I'll say this again. Like, I know Boswell was 3 of 9, but I had no issues with the way he played. When Boswell and Bradley play like they are right now, Arizona's easily one of the best teams in the country.
You could say top four.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Caleb, I mean, really, there's nothing to criticize. We can go down the line. Caleb Love, 15 points. I think he's the player of the year in the conference, although we'll get to a guy making a run in a minute. I don't think it's KJ Simpson. I'm just not big enough on him. I know he played well in double overtime. Pella Larson, look, when Pella...
Had a quiet game.
When Pella, he was good defensively. They had him guarding Frankie Collins.
That was hard.
In the game.
Yeah.
But 5 points, 7 rebounds. Colin Boswell, Umar... I think Umar might be making a quiet run towards Pac-12 Player of the Year.
But he's not flashy like
Here's
Caleb.
The thing. So the only guy in the last like 20 years to average a double-double in the Pac-12 was Zoo, right?
Right.
Umar's averaging a double-double now. He has a double-double in 5 straight games, the first guy to do it since DeAndre Ayton. Zoo did not do that, believe it. Last year, it's funny, he had 4 double-doubles in a row. His 5th game was the 40.9-rebound effort against Oregon, and then he had 2 more games after that. But, like, he's averaging, I think he's probably up to, like, 14 and 15 and 10 right now in the conference.
That's awesome.
Keyshawn Johnson loved the way he played today. He only had 1 rebound. But, look, the rebounding numbers aren't going to be that high overall because Arizona made 57% of their shots.
Right.
Right. There's not, and, like, Arizona won the glass 40, didn't I say it'd be, like, 50 to 25?
Yeah, you did.
It was 46 to 28, so I was close.
You're pretty close.
But, like, there's no, I mean, you only have so many chances when you're making 58% of your shots. I thought he was great. KJ Lewis, I thought, was fine. Krivis was fine. 8 points, 6 rebounds. Didn't bring the ball down, which was nice. Mirauskas looked like Steph Curry out there. That was hilarious. Man hit a step back three. And we were talking, me, Brian Peterson, and Lev were like, how many teams do you think Mirauskas would get minutes in, or at least be in the top seven in the Pac-12? And I would say at least half. I think Mirauskas would be in the top seven.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And like Tommy said after the game, he's like, look, like, you guys may be surprised, but he's like, Mirauskas hits threes in practice every day. Like, Conrad Martinez, we'll get to in a minute, gives Bradley and Boswell and Caleb Love all. But the problem is, like, who are you, like, people are, like, posting, like, oh, how come Mirauskas doesn't get more minutes? Because it's, like, over who, right?
Yeah, we've been saying this all year long. We have a ridiculous abundance of talent. So, like, who are you stealing minutes from?
Right, you're not taking money
from money Pichar. And minutes.
You're not playing them over Pebla. So, like, where are you playing Mirauskas? And so, next year's his year. The player of the game, Shelby, even though he didn't score,
is your boy.
Is my boy, Conrad Martinez.
I love him.
I love Conrad. He's the best Spanish player at Arizona.
He's my little tapas.
Sorry, Helena Pueyo. Conrad for life.
Right. Well, one thing I said when Jason came home and, you know, we're all vibing and we're all excited and yay and drinking White
Shelby
Claws.
Shelby was vibing with two White Claws, is what she means.
Two White Claws in each hand. I did say that the elite level of passing displayed in this game tonight, like, looking at the fundamentals, is where I like to see just that outrageous level of amazingness. And Conrad had a couple really good passes. Even Kylan had a great pass.
Sorry, I just want to your point, and you can keep going. 21 assists on 36 buckets.
Yeah, it's those are the indicators you're looking for when you're thinking about a deep run in the tournament. Those fundamentals on a daily basis that are being done well in gameplay, where it's just like incredible, and it makes people stand. You know, like, you saw everyone stand up in Mikhail when Conrad did that one pass. But even the ball movement tonight, there's a couple times where Pella had the ball and then he's given it to Caleb and Caleb gave it to Ballo. And I mean, like, just the movement. And I think Matt said, and I'd have to go back, and he said that, speaking of Pella, I think Pella is like the Pac-12, like, highest assist passer on all of the Pac-12. Like, it's insane. So, like, those kind of stats are good to see. The ball movement is good to see, because when you get into the tournament, and obviously we all know what Arizona has done lately in the tournament, if they can keep this high level going on, they obviously have earned that number one seed that, you know, if the tournament was starting tomorrow, Arizona was projected this morning to be the number one seed in the tournament. And they deserve it. And they need to keep playing at this level to get there on actual Selection Sunday, which is Jason's favorite day of the year.
Yeah, it is my favorite
literally
day.
Who cares about Hanukkah? Who cares about Christmas?
I love it.
Who cares about his birthday? He loves Selection Sunday.
And I'm also miserable that entire day. I have to drive around. I don't want to be home. Don't no one talk to me. I'm just waiting till 4 o'clock is miserable. But yeah, that show, that brings us, I mean, look, I there's only so much you can analyze, but it was just an ass kicking, right? Like, I can tell you, whatever, there isn't one stat that ASU forces turnovers, and Arizona only turned the ball over 5 times. Like, that's just stupid. And I said in the preview, I said, if Arizona doesn't turn the ball over, ASU has no chance.
And some of it, too, if you wanted to, like, really look at those five, you want to be super critical about it. We're just stupid, because it was like some of that back and forth, like Arizona took the ball from ASU and then immediately lost it. And then, you know, like, it was because they were playing very fast. Like, Frankie Collins is a speed demon. Like, and, you know, that's where he loses control. But I mean, just it's impressive across the board, obviously, but especially against your quote unquote rival in the Territorial Cup. One thing I did like today that was cute, obviously, Brennan was in attendance at McHale, but the sharing of social media accounts since Brennan has been here, I've seen, has picked up. And I think that the football, Twitter, Arizona football, tweeted out to basketball to like defend the state. They had like a great tweet about it. So obviously those different social media teams are working together, and it's awesome. I love seeing all that on the social media zone, as it were.
The show this morning, I don't really care.
I mean,
because here's the deal. Like, I work for CBS. I'm only going to be so critical. Like, to me, that's a show that A, shouldn't exist. I get why it exists, though. But if you're going to do it like
on Sunday,
on a Sunday night, like throw it on CBS Sports. Or, you know, it's just the thing is with it, like they do it right. And then Marquette loses by 100 to UConn when we just spent a half an hour or whatever it was of the show where Gary Parrish, who I respect, is saying that Marquette should be the one seed over Arizona. And then Marquette loses by 100. Right. And then you're talking about Auburn. And even I'm saying like, man, Auburn has a force tough. Well, it looks like Auburn's best forward tore his ACL today, right? So Auburn's not a four without him. And now all of a sudden, Auburn lost two games in a row. All of a sudden, Kentucky looks like it just, it literally loses its importance within minutes.
Right.
I'll say this. Arizona is the one thing I think the committee or whatever it was said that stood out was it was a unanimous four. Like
yep.
All guys,
first time
ever. The 12 people on the committee, whatever it is, unanimous top, like Arizona, like even Jay Wright was like, did Arizona sneak in as the last one seed? And the guy was like, no, they didn't. They are a very clear one seed right now. And Arizona, the problem, if you want to look at the schedule, is there's only so many opportunities to get good wins. But I mean, if Arizona can probably afford to lose one game in the regular season,
UCLA.
And maybe not even lose, and maybe lose once in the Pac-12 tournament, because conference tournaments don't mean a lot, and they would probably still be a one seed.
But you definitely want to absolutely destroy your in-state rival.
Well, all of a sudden, yeah, and all of a sudden that, and we'll get to this next week, but all of a sudden that came Thursday. It's
oh,
huge.
Wow.
Like Washington State is a legitimately good team. But yeah, I mean, right now it's, Arizona's clicking at the right time. The offense is ridiculous. I'm a firm believer in you want your offense to travel. Your defense will make it, you know. But the saying used to be that defense wins championships, and that's not necessarily the case in college basketball. Overall, you kind of need balance. But whatever it may be, Shelby, take it away.
Well, before I do, I realized something last night. I said on the podcast some thank yous for mug buyers, and I think I missed a couple people. So I am going to say thank you to my buddy Wesley Schwartz, who always wants me to sing. This has been a non-singing podcast this time, but thank you for getting a mug. And also thank you to Just Art at Pinto Beaner and Ilya Walensky. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. I have a couple other people to follow up with, but I did not mean to forget you at all. And also, we had some people that did not come say hi to us today. We went to Portillo's. I won't, like, shout anybody out particularly, but if you see us out in the world, come say hi.
Also, I will say I'm not very good with names, but there were multiple people that came up to me and Mikhail, and I'll leave those conversations private, but I will say that the words that were said to
expressed.
Me, were very kind, numerous people, the student thing where some students clapped and waved.
Lizona who knows you.
That meant a lot after this past week. So
that was very sweet.
I truly, truly appreciate
it. Oh, and shout out to Cheryl, who's buying a mug right now.
And Shelby, you know how to end these things.
You know, in the wise words of me and our mug, no matter what you do, actually, I messed up already. No matter where you are or what you do, you can always...
No matter who you're doing and where it is.
Kick ASU's ass in all Arizona sports ever, of all time. Bear down.
One thing I forgot to mention, Shelby,
mm-hmm.
is that in his press conference, someone asked Keyshawn Johnson about playing ASU.
Oh.
And he shouted out Lute Olson and said he plays for the block A on his chest. And there is no block A on his chest. But it was very cool.
It surrounds him like a shield.
To see a guy in his first year in Arizona just totally get it. So shout out Keyshawn Johnson. Shout out Lute Olson.
Rip Lute. We love you.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.